"There's really no more you can tell me?" Ned asked in a small, disillusioned voice.
"Nope. It'd never make a play, would it? There's no third act."
"Tony and your dad ran a few more experiments over the next 5 years and finally brought B.B. Roth in on it. That would have been your father persuading Tony and me getting caught in the middle as usual. And I have to tell you the truth. After Brian Lippi disappeared and Mr. Dillon died, I was against doing anything with the Buick beyond keeping an eye on it and offering up the occasional prayer that it would either fall apart or disappear back to where it came from. Oh, and killing anything that came out of the trunk still lively enough to stand up and maybe run around the shed looking for a way out."
"Did that ever happen?"
"You mean another pink-headed E.T.?
No."
"And B.B., what did he say?"
"He listened to Tony and your dad. He took another look, and then he walked away. He said he was too old to deal with anything so far outside his understanding of the world and how it works. He told them he intended to erase the Buick from his memory and urged Tony and Kurt to do the same."
"Oh, for God's sake, this guy was a scientist? Jesus, he should have been fascinated."
"Your father was the scientist," I said. "An amateur one, yeah, but a good one. The things that came out of the Buick and his curiosity about the Buick itself, those were the things that made him a scientist. His dissection of the bat thing, for instance. Crazy as that was, there was something noble about it, too. Like the Wright brothers going up in their little glue-and-paste airplane. B.B. Roth, on the other hand, B.B. was a microscope mechanic. He sometimes called himself that, and with absolute pride. He was a person who had carefully and consciously narrowed his vision to a single strip of knowledge, casting a blaze of light over a small area. Mechanics hate mysteries. Scientists, especially amateur scientists, embrace them.
Your father was two people at the same time.
As a cop, he was a mystery hater. As a Roadmaster scholar, well, let's just say that when your father was that person, he was very different."
"Which version did you like better?"
I thought it over.
"Well, that's like a kid asking his parents who they love best, him or his sister. Not a fair question. But the amateur Kurt used to scare me.
Used to scare Tony a little, too."
The kid sat pondering this. "A few more things appeared," I said. "In 1991, there was a bird with four wings."
"Four?"
"That's right. It flew a little bit, hit one of the walls, and dropped dead. In the fall of 1993, the trunk popped open after one of those light quakes, and it was half filled with dirt. Kurt wanted to leave it there and see what would happen, and Tony agreed at first, but then it began to stink. I didn't know dirt could decompose, but I guess it can if it's dirt from the right place, and so this is crazy, but we buried the dirt. Can you believe it?" He nodded.
"And did my dad keep an eye on the place where it was buried?"
"Sure he did, just to see what would grow. I think he was hoping for a few of those weird lilies."
"Any luck?"
"I guess that depends on what you think of as luck. Nothing sprouted, I'll tell you that much. The dirt from the trunk went into the ground, not far from where we buried Mr. D and the tools. As for the monster, what didn't turn to goo, he burned in the incinerator. The ground where the dirt went is still bare. A few things try to straggle up every spring, but so far they always die. Eventually, I suppose that'll change." I put the last cigarette in my mouth and lit it.
"A year and a half or so after the dirt delivery, we got another red stick lizard, dead. That's been the last. It's still earthquake country in there, but the earth never shakes as hard these days. It wouldn't do to be careless around the Buick any more than it would to be careless around an old rifle just because it's rusty and the barrel's plugged with dirt. But with reasonable precautions, it's probably safe enough. And someday, your dad believed it, Tony believed it, and I do too, that old car really will fall apart. All at once, just like the wonderful one-horse shay in the poem."